Hello, Devlin here with you, and welcome to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. And thank you for joining me. I appreciate it wholeheartedly. This is kind of a movie episode because I'm going to be talking about three movies that I've seen. Three of the most anticipated movies of the summer have played in the last couple of weeks, and I finally got to see them. Some I got to see like the first week. Others I was catching up on, but there's three sequels that everybody was looking forward to, and I'm going to have full reviews of all of them. No spoilers. I'm going to do my best not to do any spoilers because I don't do them, and if I did do them, I have done them in the past. I will definitely put spoilers, but today you can listen and not feel worried that I'm going to give anything too much away. I might give away little things, but I'd never give away big, solid things. The movies I'm going to be taking a look at are Deadpool 2, Incredibles 2, and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, or Jurassic World 2. So three of the most anticipated movies of the summer, and you're going to get reviews for them all this week because they are all playing in theaters still. Well, depending if you're listening to this like 3 years later, obviously not. But if you're one of those people that can't wait and have to just press play when you see that I've dropped a new episode, and absolutely, they are still in theaters right now. And they're all destined to be big, big, big hits. And I'm going to give my opinions on all three of them coming up. This is the summer, and summer is the big time for people to go to movies. Now, as a movie fan, I go to movies all year round. But most people tend to go in the summer because they're looking for some fun, light movies, and summer has become the big blockbuster time. You know, in the spring you might get some smaller hits, you know, a couple blockbusters still. In the winter you sometimes get family friendly stuff, more still blockbusters, and you get a lot of the Oscar nominated movies. But summer has become the big time to go to the movies because that's when we drop all the big movies in. We've already dealt with a couple. I've already reviewed Infinity War in the past, The Avengers, and I've looked at Solo. And so I'm anxious to talk about these three movies because they were three movies I was anxiously waiting for. And I'll be honest, this summer didn't have a lot of movies I was really looking forward to. Solo, Infinity War, Jurassic World. I did look forward to The Incredibles and Deadpool as well, but, you know, not quite as much as some of the others. There are still some coming up, like Meg and Ant-Man and the Wasp, and a couple other ones that are escaping my memory right now, but that's okay. Before I get to my movie reviews, I wanted to talk about the movie-going experience. Now, I'm a movie fan. My movie love, I probably have talked about this before, so if you heard me, bear with me. I'm getting to that age where I repeat stories over and over, but that's the good thing about podcasts. If you've heard this before, you can always fast forward or just get to the next review. If not, thank you for keeping it tuned here. My love of movies came from my father, and it's funny how we get traditions through the movies. And I get very saddened when I hear things like streaming sites are becoming so popular that we might not see smaller films at the theater anymore. They're just going to put them right to streaming. Or I hear things where they're thinking about, you know, going to let people text and use their phones in the theater, certain showings, because of the fact that, you know, I just don't think you're invested in the movie as much. And just hearing, you know, little mom and pop theaters or drive-ins are slowly disappearing. So I cherish everything movie going because I've seen a lot in the decades that I've been alive, and I hate to think that, yes, there is a chance that the movie going experience might change. Now, as I said, my love for movies came from my father. My father always used to escape in movies, and he used to take me regularly. He was an older dad when he had me. He was in his 40s, so we didn't have the typical throwing baseballs, throwing footballs in the backyard. He was also in the military near the beginning of my birth, so my brothers felt it a little more than me, but, you know, we were, what were they called, like military babies where we were moving around all the time. So there were times that he'd be gone for several weeks and we wouldn't even see him, it would just be our mother. But when my dad did eventually stay home, our thing became going to the movies on Sunday afternoons, and he would take me to the movies. Now, at first, he'd only take me to movies like Disney movies, not just the animated ones like Peter Pan and Snow White and The Rescuers and The Aristocats and all those wonderful movies, but he'd take me to the live action ones too, like The Apple Dumpling Gang or Candleshoe or, any of the ones that they would show, Swiss Family Robinson, if they re-released that. So I got to see a lot. Million Dollar Duck. I'm going to put that one out there because that's actually one of my favorite non-animated Disney films. And I know it's bad, but I don't know, I got a kick out of it. And I used to watch it. I saw it at the big screen, but when it came on, the Wonderful World of Disney, I'd always be there to watch it until finally I got my own copy of it. And I still love the movie, even though I know it's horrible. And non-Disney films like the Pippi Longstocking series I think there was a movie called Hugo the Hippo and stuff like that we went to as well. I also remember seeing Santa Conquers the Martians at the theater when I was a wee lad, and I still watch that, and I know that's a bad movie. But anyhow, then Star Wars came about, and I basically begged my father to take me. I was 9 years old, it was PG, he was worried. But my brother saw it, and one of the best things Paul did for me is say, Dad, he's okay with it. It's not bad. And after we saw Star Wars, that was it. We went to see everything, like PG, adult contemporary was right. He took me to see Grease and Saturday Night Fever and just so many movies. And eventually he started, when my mother would go on holidays and stuff, sometimes with my brothers, we'd have go down to this great little retro cinema called the Broadway, and I get to see some classic movies and maybe some movies I shouldn't have saw. There was a documentary series he took me to see called Mondo Khan, O'Kane, I don't know how to pronounce it, and there was two of them, and I remember being kind of freaked out by it. But I love movies because of that, and he always told me that you can find good in all movies, whether it was, movies with that are good or bad, that you could always find something good in them, and that's my love of great movies and my love of cheesy movies too. And it's funny because eventually he wasn't a big fan of cheesy movies, but I don't know. I wound up loving them. I still do. I'm actually trying to get back into my love of cheesy and independent movies because I'm getting to the point where blockbusters are just, I don't know, having a total diet of blockbusters, it's not a great thing. I like to see those little indie films or those weird culty films like that nobody gives enough love to. So I like to promote them too, just to show, the companies that it's not all about the blockbuster. But it's funny, I wanted to just go over some of my little things. I've been around long enough that I remember going to the theaters, and I've talked about the movie theaters. If you want to go back in some of my older episodes, I remember talking about all the different movie theaters in town. And I remember, like smoking. People still smoked in theaters, and I remember looking back at the projection. And you could see all the smoke just going up by the lights and stuff, and it was just surreal to think that there was a time people smoked. I remember always sitting off to the side in the front row. That was my dad and I's big thing. I was the first kid. I was the youngest in the family, and I was the first one who needed glasses. And I still believe me sitting so close to the movie theater was always the thing. That was like the place I would go. If you think of the movie theater, you have the big middle aisle, and then you have the two on the end. I'd always sit on the one in the end, and always the first two seats, me and my dad. And I have great memories of watching them with him. And I always tend to get popcorn. I don't usually stray away from that. I also get pop. I don't stray away from that, even though I have been trying to cut down my pop consumption. If I know I'm going to the movie, I'll say, okay, no pop for the day, because I know I'm going to have a big one there. And I do, if I do stray away, I have tried different things, but I always go back to popcorn. There's something about the movie popcorn that I love, and I actually really like movie popcorn the next day. I think I've talked about that with the drive-in. If I don't finish my bag of popcorn, which As I'm a bigger guy, I tend to always finish it, but sometimes I'll buy an extra big bag and bring it home because I feel that popcorn just tastes so amazing the next day too, especially the drive-in stuff that we have here. Anyhow, I love that sometimes I will do nachos if I haven't had time for dinner. I'll have nachos and they don't disappoint. Sometimes it's just too much nachos, and then sometimes you go to a little theater and it's not enough. I can go to a movie without any snacks, but I usually don't. If I go to a smaller theater, like a family-run one, like something here like the Zoetic or the Westdale that used to be here, I used to always buy concessions because I know concessions is where they make their money. So I always tried to buy something, even if it was just a little something. I don't tend to use candy a lot during it. I feel it's kind of weird eating a chocolate bar in the middle of a movie. I don't know why. I can eat chocolate if I'm watching a movie on TV. Just little things. Anybody who's gone with me to movies, and I've probably got some friends listening that are probably going to be like, yep. They know I like to get there early, not just for the trailers and stuff and the momentous ads that we always get now, but I go early because I just don't want to miss anything. I want to make sure I've done my pee breaks. I want to make sure I have my food all ready to go and stuff like that. And there's nothing I hate more than when I'm sitting there. I've been there way too early before the movie. My friends are like, why do we get here so much? And I'm like, we're talking, aren't we? We're not going to be talking through the movie. You should be happy we're getting some time to socialize. And we're not going to miss anything. And then somebody will come in and say, oh, is this seat taken? Can I get you all to move over? I'm like comfy. I'm already got, my bum marks into this. I've already got my impression in there. I hate to move down. I usually will, but I will definitely not enjoy it. I do talk a little bit through movies, but not a lot. I may lean over and say, hey, that's that actor from. But I don't go into deep discussions. And if I do have to go to the bathroom, which I try not to, but sometimes you just can't help it as I get older, sometimes harder when you go to these 3-hour Marvel movies and you can't run to the toilet. But I don't try to catch up. I figure I have to pick the right time. And if I've missed something, I've missed something. I can't stand when you see somebody running to get extra popcorn or the thing, and what did I miss? Because we've already seen it. We don't need an update and stuff like that. But I will, at home, I'm a little looser. I will talk a little bit during the thing, unless I get a feel that I have somebody that, really doesn't like talking through a movie. I just think, when you're there, it's fine. I think when you're at home, it's also good to talk through really bad movies because it's so fun to enjoy it and do your own little mystery science theater while you're enjoying a really bad 50s or 60s thing. So, movie like that. So, I always get a magazine for role-playing purposes. I sometimes get two or three on my way out because, I sometimes flip through it. I don't flip through them as much as I did because they usually now have that pre-show. And even though the pre-show can be a little irritating, they do interesting things once in a while. And I always get it. The reason I role play is when I role play, when we make characters, we like to use real actors. So if there's a really great picture of someone, recently I got the Marquee magazine or Tribute. I can't remember which one's out right now. They used to be both movie magazines. One you used to get at Famous Players, one you used to get at Cinema Plex. Cineplex Odeon. Yes, that's what it used to be called. I'm bringing up some old things because I don't even think we have Famous Players anymore. But I will still grab a couple of magazines, especially if they have some nice pictures in there. I'm not the kind of person who has to stay throughout the credits. I respect everybody who did the movies, but I think they need to respect that I've held it for 2.5 hours and I may have to run to the toilet. Of course, if it's a Marvel movie, I always stay, or if I hear somebody say there is an end, I will squeeze my legs together and do. I love going to different theaters, so like when I'm in another city, some people are surprised when I tell them that I was on vacation. When we go to Parry Sound, we go to this great little theater. It's actually the picture on the YouTube channel. for this episode. There's a great little theater that actually looks like a rundown building. When I looked at the pictures, I go, this doesn't do any justice. It's the only theater in town. They have two screens, but they can't use one of the screens because it hasn't gone to digital yet. They haven't been able to afford it. We started going to this kind of. Mike takes me to kind of thank him for spending time with his dad. I love spending time with his dad, but his dad can be frustrating. I won't go into it too much. I might do a full camping episode. Maybe I'll go into it a little bit there. But anyhow, yeah, and so, at last night we usually stay in a hotel and he usually takes me to the theater. And as I said, the town has one theater. And even though it has two screens, very seldom does it have actual movies they can play because the other one only plays film. And I think in the last couple of years, I think Dunkirk, Hateful Eight, and Be Good Cop, Bone Cop, Bad Cop, Bone Cop, whatever that Canadian movie, the sequel, I think that was also in it. So I think they played those movies. But when we were there recently, we saw The Incredibles 2, one of the movies I'm reviewing. It's a great little theater. I love going to see how movie theaters are designed. A little nerd fact for me. I don't know, nerds seems kind of cruel to say. But anyhow, when I was younger, I used to design my only theaters and figure out, like, literally exactly where movie posters would be. And there were times that I even like used to book what movie was coming out that week in my theater, and it was just a fun little thing I used to do, and then see how the box office did to see how many of my seats were filled. It was kind of a fun little game for me, and I really enjoyed playing it. And I still always dream one day to own a movie theater. I don't think it'll ever happen. I used to do movie nights, and those used to make me very happy. I keep saying I'm going to get back to them, but I haven't. But we still put on movies and stuff. But back in the day, I used to put, like, those coming soon trailers. I used to put, those old drive-in intermission ads and stuff. And people loved it. Cartoons, and then here's our double bill. But life gets so busy. We're lucky to get one movie in now rather than a whole double bill, but I'd like to try it again because it's a lot of fun. Anyhow, yeah, so that's just some of my little traditions that I like to scope out new theaters and stuff like that and try new things. I love the big theaters, although my favorite right now is Jackson Square, and I'm almost having a hard time going to the Silver Cities now because of the fact that those reclining chairs in the Landmark theaters in Jackson Square, once you have sat in a reclining chair like that, it is hard to go back to the chairs where, if you have to go out to the bathroom, you have to, like, grab onto the back of the chair and people's chairs are moving and there's not a lot of room. And, I remember when I was sitting in those chairs and said, nothing's going to top these. And then I saw these reclining chairs and I was blown away. But I love promoting little theaters too. I'm really hoping the Westdale opens and, they start showing good movies again, like independent ones, because I started just going there again after a hiatus, and it was nice to see those independent films. And then I decided I want to see more independent films, and they closed. But they are rebuilding, and yeah, I'm going to hopefully get to see more movies there as well. Yeah, so that's just a little bit of my movie thing. I don't know. I hadn't seen four movies, so I needed to fill time, so I thought I'd give you some of my looks at movies. Anyhow, let's get to the movies at hand. I've saw three of the biggest movies of the summer, or are going to be the biggest movies of the summer, and these movies have already gotten pretty good reviews. One of them not as good as the other two. Deadpool 2 and Incredibles 2 are getting really rave reviews. Jurassic Park is a little bit mixed. But as you know, I can be a little different, and so let's see what I think of these movies, and we're going to kick things off with Deadpool 2. The reason we're going to kick off, this has actually been out for about a month, and it took me forever to finally see it. And I've been looking forward to this one. Now, I enjoyed the first Deadpool immensely. I don't think I loved it as much as everybody else did, but I did laugh my ass off, and I thought Ryan Reynolds was brilliant in it. I thought it was just very funny. It was a fresh take on movies. So everything about Deadpool was amazing. Even the advertising up to it, the teaser trailers, the little spots they did were perfect. And Deadpool 2 looked like it was going to be the same because the advertising had been incredible. Who's not going to forget Bob Ross? Deadpool dressed as Bob Ross, making really inappropriate comments about painting, which just makes me giggle thinking about it in my head. And so when I went to see Deadpool 2, I definitely expected more of the same. I have to say that this is getting really big reviews to the point, like, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, this is only like a percent away from Infinity War, which I thought was just an amazing film. I'm not sure why it's so high. I know people like to have just throwaway popcorn movies that make them laugh. For me, Deadpool 2 was actually a little bit of a disappointment. Yes, it's more of the same, but it's almost totally the same. The only thing I would say is different is that I thought they had a really unique story in the first one, and this one I thought was just a lazy Terminator kind of ripoff. Cable coming back to, get vengeance on this little boy who would eventually grow up and do horrible things to his family. So he decides to come back and take this kid out before he becomes dangerous for his mutant powers. And then, Deadpool has to find a way to stop it. I won't say exactly why, because that's a big spoiler. I don't think talking to you about the Terminator storyline is, because they kind of hinted at it in the trailers. I feel anything that was in the trailers is okay to talk about. And of course, Deadpool even puts X-Force together in order to deal with it. Now, I heard that there was some weird things going on, because I heard that the early viewings of Deadpool 2, and when I say early, I'm not talking like the Thursday night preview. I'm talking about when they first showed it to execs. A lot of people didn't like it. And there was actually supposed to be another villain in this. And that person, I believe, was pretty much cut from the whole movie. And I would have been interested to see where they were going to go with that, because this, to me, everything about this movie felt lazy. The story was just there. They tried to go for the thing that I loved about Deadpool was there was actually a human emotional side to it. And they try that again. But for some reason, every time they tried to do that again, they kind of played it up for laughs a bit. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is a little Deadpool goes a long way. And I just felt that they were just nailing jokes over and over again, but the jokes weren't always landing. In fact, there were more jokes that just kind of fizzled for me. And I think some people went in and just laughed their ass off and said, "What a great film," and just, tooted it up the wazoo. But I think, I don't know, the more I think of this movie, the more it just seemed lazy to me. I think they're missing a main ingredient that they don't give the first movie enough of. And that's the director of the first movie, Deadpool, Tim Miller. Tim Miller was scheduled to be in the second one, but apparently him and Ryan Reynolds had some arguments. And they had issues in the first movie. So when they started doing Deadpool 2, I think Ryan Reynolds and him decided it would be best that they go their separate ways. But I think Tim Miller tightened the movie up a lot and cut a lot of the jokes that weren't working out. In this one, Ryan Reynolds gets a writing credit. I don't know if he got a writing credit on the first Deadpool, but it just seems like they try every joke and they don't care if it works. Now, this kind of formula works in other movies like Airplane or something. There's just so many jokes, but there's a lot of sight gags, and Deadpool's more sarcasm, it's more talking to the camera, breaking the fourth wall. And like a couple of times they actually turn and say, "That's just bad storytelling. That's just bad writing." And they're actually admitting it. And I know they're playing it as a joke because they secretly think they've got a wonderful film, but for people like me, and I know I'm on the lesser because I know everybody I've talked to likes this film, I actually felt that they were right on the money in that. One of the strongest parts of the film is the building of the X-Force team. I can't talk a lot about it because it is kind of top secret, but the whole story with the X-Force and the new characters they add is actually a funny twist. But again, I can't talk about it because it would spoil, and I don't want to do that. See, even this movie didn't really fit my fancy. That doesn't mean I'm going to ruin it for other people because I don't believe in that. I believe movies should be, you checking it out and seeing what it is. Now, I didn't totally sit there angry faced. There were lots of jokes I actually enjoyed. There's particularly one that I love that had like. And again, not a real spoiler, but during one of the action scenes, they had like a, you know how in the musical score of like a serious action film, they sometimes do the whole choir thing. Well, it took me a while, but if you actually listen, they're actually saying stuff like holy shit balls. But they sound so glorious doing it that it's kind of neat. Other things are kind of fun, but they're a little tired too. Like, I don't know if you've seen the Celine Dion video for Ashes. This is from the movie, and it's a serious, serious song. And the video is actually quite funny, and Ryan Reynolds even makes a cameo in it. And it's so funny. But when they actually use it in a Bond-esque type of opening, I thought to myself, this just seems boring. Like, I've seen this done in like movies from Spy Hard to other ones where they parody Bond things. And I don't think it works quite as good as the music video actually did. Although I think the song is quite good, and I kudos for them to get somebody like Celine Dion to do the Deadpool 2 thing. As I said, Ryan Reynolds is perfect as Deadpool. I can't see any other actor really pulling this off. I just think he got rid of Tim Miller, who tightened up the first one, and they leave so much in with the story that I just didn't think worked. There's some wonderful acting in this movie besides Ryan Reynolds. I think once again Josh Brolin comes through, and he's proving to be such an asset. He did Thanos in the Avengers Infinity War, and now here he is as Cable. He adds a little bit of heart to a little bit of badass, and I think he is going to be somebody who is going to be getting a lot of bigger roles in the coming years because of his 1-2 punch. He's also in Sicario 2, so it'll be interesting to see if he can get a three, great performances in it. But honestly, I enjoyed Deadpool a little bit, but I really didn't like the story. I think it was sloppy directing. I think that Ryan Reynolds just got a little bit more control, and there's a lot of improv, and they decide, let's leave as much as possible in. And I think there's more failed jokes in here than not. They tried to repeat a lot of the humor, like that I just think they did better in the first movie. There's a sequence where Deadpool regenerates. And in the first movie, he loses some body parts and they kind of have to regrow and they look like baby thing. They do that again, but they leave it so long on the screen. I think it's so boring. And yeah, I just had some trouble with this. And again, I think the story was absolutely not there at all. So I'm going to actually have to give Deadpool 2 a low number. I'm actually going to give it a 2 out of 5. I did not enjoy this movie. I had moments where I giggled and laughed, but in a movie, Deadpool, and what the first one did to me, I really expected a lot more from it. If you enjoyed it, I'm glad you did. I don't know. I don't know. I just can't see why people have rated this movie so high, and that's not my business, but it really kind of scares me if this kind of humor and lazy acting, even the action sequences, some of them are really well done, but again, other ones just seem boring. And one little thing that I can't really get into, but there is a plot twist at the ending that as I said, I can't really deal with. There's some funny moments with it, but one of the scenes actually literally erases this whole movie. And I'm interested to see if they actually deal with it at Deadpool 3 or if it's just one of those wink at the camera, we only did that for fun. Because I tell you, in 3, if I see some stuff that they erased in this, I'm not going to be too happy because it's like, wow, they just made a summer blockbuster that erased itself in the same way that other movies have done it after a few movies. Can't really get into it, but if you've seen the movie, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. It's one of the last, the end credit sequences. So, Deadpool 2, Not one of my favorites this year. 2 stars out of 5. I'm going to take a short intermission. So I'm going to grab some popcorn, I'm going to grab some cola, and I'm going to be back to review Incredibles 2 and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. That's coming up right after this.
What is it?
Hey, why is buttercup? Popcorn, add sweetened butter to hot popcorn. Mix it up, wrap it up, buttercup is born.
It's delicious.
So nutritious.
It's a taste delight.
It's so munchy.
Crisp and crunchy.
You'll enjoy each bite.
Eat butter drenched buttercup. Popcorn at its best.
Served in a king-size cup.
It beats all the rest.
Welcome back. You're listening to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show, and we're here with our movie episode because I had 3 movies backed up to review, and we're moving into our second review now. The Incredibles 2, we should get it right. And this, of course, is the long-awaited sequel. And when I mean long, we're talking 14 years since the original. I'm not sure why Pixar waited so long. We got sequels to Cars. We got like 2 sequels and a mini spin-off from Cars called Planes. We got a Monsters University, which was a prequel to Monsters, Inc. We got a Finding Dory sequel, Finding Nemo sequel, which was Finding Dory. So we got a lot of sequels. We got a couple of Toy Stories in there, which, well, I don't beget them that because those were incredible movies. I love the first Incredibles. I thought it was an actually amazing film. I remember thinking it was one of Pixar's best, and to me, it was one of the most logical ones to do a sequel. Now, they claimed that Brad Bird, who's the director of the film, said he always wanted to do a sequel, but they weren't going to do it unless they had the right script. Can't even speak right now. All that popcorn I ate during the intermission, I guess. Anyhow, and so after 14 years, you think they would have nailed it. Well, I'm sad to say, for me, I was a little disappointed by The Incredibles. I'm not saying it was disappointing 100%, like I was a little more disappointed with Deadpool, but I was a little disappointed that after 14 years, this is the best we could come up with. The one thing I loved about the original Incredibles was the fact that it was a very tight superhero film. And it had a great dynamic using the family. I also liked the villain in that movie because it was just a really neat villain and it was very action-packed and there was a real three-dimensional quality to the villain. I found, again, I hate to say it, but it was the script that mostly I was disappointed with The Incredibles 2, because the animation was top-notch. Pixar, I remember The Incredibles being one of the first movies that I saw that I knew Pixar was getting better with each film, but I found that there was just so much visual stunningness. Like, they got hair so beautiful in this and stuff. And it was just kind of, I remember, and they don't disappoint in this. And the characters are all still fun. It was quickly how I got into the universe back into this, just how much I enjoyed the characters and stuff. But I guess because there was a 14-year-old break and they kept saying, 14-year-old, yeah, and they kept saying that we were waiting for the right script, I think I'm a little disappointed that this is the script they waited for because, number one, the story is kind of, I found it a little bit lame. I understand I love the idea of the outlawing superheroes, but the fact that we're going to try to bring them back, but we can only use certain ones, to me was just a little forced. And I had no problems that they used Miss Incredible for it. I just felt that it was a way of separating the family. And I think the family dynamic is a big part of what I loved about The Incredibles. And when they are together, you really feel it. But because the mother is so removed from this, and then, you know, there are other scenes where there's subplots with the father taking care of Jack-Jack, and then the sister and the brother just having their own issues in life, I just felt that the family chemistry wasn't there all the time. But when they were together, it seemed to work really good. They once again, of course, Pixar always does a story that tries to be a little heavy-handed, so the kids can enjoy the little poop and fart jokes that, I'll be saying, for poop and fart jokes, they were higher class poop and fart jokes, and they didn't excel in them. But when you're dealing with a baby that poops a lot, you got to expect the odd one. But again, they handled it with a classier thing, so I'm very happy for that. They didn't just throw it in there like some movies do and like thrive on it. I just found The Incredibles to be the storyline, like, I found it a little predictable. I kind of was predicting what was going to happen as they happened, where they had this amazing villain in the first movie. I found this villain was kind of visually stunning. Like, there were visual moments. The look of Screenslaver was really well done. But I felt the character had no meat and potatoes. I found the action sequences were actually well done. Brad Bird is really great. I feel sad that, like, he can't... He's done a couple of live action, and some of them have been good, but overall he's had some issues with some stuff. But he's really good at directing this stuff, and the action sequencers are quite good. I just felt overall the story was a little lax. And for me, it was just... I wanted something more. I waited a long time for this, and, you know, they were buggering around with sequels that we probably really didn't need, you know. Cars 2 and 3 just felt like sequels just to cash grab, because Cars is a leading merchandise for Disney. I don't really think there was any need for a Finding Nemo. Now, I've never seen Finding Dory, so I'm not putting down Finding Dory. It was such a one-off, one-and-done kind of movie that I don't think we needed it. But The Incredibles, out of all their movies, seemed to be the most logical one to do a sequel for. And I just felt that their story was just like, again, they tried to be heavy-handed. I know a lot of people don't see Pixar. You know, they just enjoy, you know, their movies. But as of late, I've just found that Pixar has just gotten very preachy. And you know what? Other people don't see that, so... I don't see any reason why they should change the formula, because people keep going and, you know, eating it like candy and indulging in it. But I just find that their movies have just been so heavy-handed, and I don't think they are as good. I think I've seen better animation. I think when Frozen came out, I think Frozen showed that Disney Studios could make just an awesomer film. And, you know, they can still bring it. Toy Story 3 is still one of my favorite movies of all time as far as animated goes, even just a movie in general. But I was sad that The Incredibles 2 just seemed to lose some of that magic. Now, that's not going to stop this juggernaut at the box office, which means that hopefully we don't have to wait 14 years for Incredibles 3. But I really do hope they do concentrate on this storyline and really give us a strong villain. Just because I just found there was... I love the look of the villain and the design. I just felt the overall story was cool. I think the subplot with Jack-Jack getting his powers, because we saw that he got his powers in the first film, but the family didn't know about it. So now that they were discovering it, I really liked it. There's a sequence with Jack-Jack taking on a raccoon, which was one of my favorite sequences. And I kept hoping that they would deal more with it, but pretty much, except for the raccoon scene, everything that you see has already been shared in the trailers and stuff, which to me was a bit of a disappointment. And that's too bad, because I was really looking forward to The Incredibles 2. But I just think in that 14 years, we have seen what Marvel and other studios, for me, DC has even done. They've upped the superhero games. And I think this would have been more passable if the movie was... like a sequel only a couple of years, I would understand it. But the fact that they had 14 years to come up with something brilliant and didn't even realize, in my opinion, what their full of potential is. Now, don't get me wrong, I did still was entertained by The Incredibles, and I'm going to give it a passing grade, but just a passing grade. I'm going to give Incredibles 2 a 3 out of 5. It's still a very enjoyable film, and I think a lot of people love it. I think families will get a kick out of it. Not a lot of big family movies out this year, so it's definitely one to check out. And, as I said, it's, you know, not up there as like a Toy Story sequel, like Toy Story kept upping the ante. I didn't want number two. They gave me two. I love two. I didn't want three. They gave me three. I love three. I'm not looking forward to four, but I'll probably give it a try and we'll see how it goes. But Incredibles 2, as I said, not a horrible film, but I wanted a little more, and I don't think they delivered quite as well as they could have. So, I did like The Incredibles, very disappointed in Deadpool. I had one more that I recently saw, and I was like starting to think, maybe I need to turn it in as a reviewer. Maybe I'm getting old and jaded. Maybe that's what it is. You know, I loved Infinity War. Everybody else seemed to love Infinity War. I loved Solo, but other people were kind of mixed on it. Although I see more and more people saying that they actually thought Solo was a pretty good film and was a lot of fun. But I'm really starting to think, you know, am I getting this old timer spot? But I talked to my review partner for the Damien Devlin show, and Damien said, no, it's good that you're being more critical as you get older. You know, you do like to give out fives, but you know, now it's harder to find those five movies now. And he goes, that, as long as we keep going, is going to be awesome that you are now, you know, being more judgmental on this film. So let's get us to our third and final film, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I always want to just call it Jurassic World 2, but they want to take the high road like they did with Jurassic Park. I forgot what that was called. Lost World or something like that. Yes. Anyhow, for those of you who know, I absolutely enjoyed the first Jurassic World. I thought after two really bad sequels in Jurassic Park 2 and Jurassic Park 3, I thought Jurassic World actually brought it back around. Now, Jurassic World was nowhere as brilliant as the first Jurassic Park, but I think it's almost impossible to get to that again, only because Jurassic Park was like a mind-blowing, mind-numbing experience at the movies. And sadly, that is, I don't think we'll ever top the original one. But when we went into Jurassic World, I was surprised at how close they came. Now, I know some people didn't like the first Jurassic World, but I like that after time passed, we actually finally got this amusement park up and running. And of course, as always, without giving away too much, dinosaurs ran amok. And that's pretty much how most of the Jurassic Park movies go. So I was interested to see how they were going to continue the story, because as we left the last movie, there were lots of different ways they could go. And from the early trailers, I was a little nervous because I thought they were just going to repeat kind of what they did in Jurassic Park 2, which I didn't like. I actually thought it was a horrendous movie and not a lot to look up to. In fact, I would call it one of Steven Spielberg's most dismal movies that he made, because he actually directed that one. And there's just so much flaws and badness in it. I think it's almost unforgivable for somebody who's given us so many iconic movies to have such a bad one on his resume. So I was a little leery. Now, I'm surprised, because in some ways, they took some of the ideas that I did like in Jurassic Park 2, and they actually kind of remade Jurassic Park 2 without copying the same story, but they copy the same beats, and they do everything that I would have done differently for Jurassic Park. And so I am happy to say that out of these movies, this was my favorite. And yes, I was looking forward to it. I like the fact that Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard were coming back. And I like the fact that Ian Malcolm was going to come back too. Now, if you remember Jeff Goldblum, who played Ian Malcolm. Yeah, I made it sound like Ian Malcolm was the actor. But Jeff Goldblum actually was in the sequel, and I never understood it. Because out of all the characters, the Laura Dern character, the, I can't remember his name, the Alan Grant actor that played him. Really great actor that doesn't get enough love. It has totally slipped my mind. Anyhow, I was just totally shocked that they would bring the Chaos Theorist back. And I think they only brought him back was because he was on a popularity hit after he had Jurassic Park and Independence Day. But it didn't make sense to me. And then they threw in, like, his daughter, and it was just, I don't even want to talk about it. But anyhow, so when I heard they were bringing Malcolm back, I thought, oh no, is Jeff Goldblum going to be running around being chased by? But he's actually handled really well. He's not in it that much. He's exactly what we need of him, and they use him on that. But anyhow, the first part deals with the ramifications that happened after the first movie. And that's exactly what happened in Jurassic Park 2, except they went and did a plot twist that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. But in this one, they actually go back and deal with what happened in the first movie. Then the second half shows us some of the areas that they're going into. And although they did say some of this in the trailer, I'm not going to give away too much. But basically what I will say is, and you've probably seen it from enough from the commercials, some of the dinosaurs make it back to the mainland. And of course, we have to deal with the fact that some of them are now terrorizing people here, not off on an island somewhere. And again, that also happens in Jurassic Park 2, but they wait so long to deal with it. It's almost dealt with so willy-nilly. And this actually deals with the proper transportation of them. The actual story is developed more. I thought some of the action sequences were absolutely wonderful. I have to give a shout out to the actual, I have to ring it up here because I can't remember. I think his name was David Litch. I might be wrong. But I think that's the director of Jurassic World. But I'm going to look it up for you because I want to give him credit. Because I think he actually does a really great job of directing. I could be totally wrong. I may be thinking about something totally else. Am I thinking of something totally else? Tell me. Anyhow, I really like the dynamic of this. And I have to say that I think it's just a well-put-together movie. I'm totally wrong. I don't know what I was thinking of. He must have directed another movie or something. Did he direct? Oh, I think David Litch was the guy who directed the new Deadpool 2, and I didn't mention him. So David Litch for him. But no, J.A. Boyana directed this installment. And he also had Colin Trevorrow, who directed the first one, who helped him with the producing and stuff like that. There's artistic shots that we don't even need such great artistic shots. He gives the feel, it fits with the Jurassic Park lore, and there's a lot of homages to the original film, even a few from the Jurassic World film. So they like even have homages way back to Jurassic Park. And then they even have some gothic moments that like some beautiful shots of like dinosaurs on top of a roof and, you know, howling, not really howling, but whatever dinosaurs do, you know, like, Wah! I can't think of what that is, screeching, screaming. And basically, you know, with the moon behind them, and there's some just beautiful shots. So this director, I have to say it again, because I screwed up giving him credit to J.A. Boyana, does a great job with this film, how it looks. Like, this movie doesn't have to look that good, but it was a treat watching this. And I did watch this one in 3D, and it was actually a treat. There were some scenes that really worked quite nicely. And there's a lot of nice jump scares, which you expect with dinosaurs. I know some people are probably getting bored of it because it's dinosaurs, but I think they did amazing jobs with all of them. I really like this movie. I can't sing its praises enough. I know some people were mixed, and of course, out of the three, this is the one I like more. This, to me, is exactly what a Jurassic Park movie should be. It is a roller coaster ride. The script is actually pretty good and sets up other possible sequels. So, and the next one will have to be a little different. They can't try and remake Jurassic Park 3, because one, a lot of people didn't like it. I actually didn't mind Jurassic Park 3. I took it for what it was. But they really have to go into a different way because of how they set up the story. They can't really go back to what the first one was, Jurassic World. But they've set it up that they've got to find a really unique way for Jurassic 3. And it's a way that, to me, is exciting because they can go into different ways. Yeah, it could be. I was worried. I loved Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. But I was worried that there was no plausible way of bringing them back. And they actually, the script totally finds it perfect way to bring them back. I always hate that they always have to have kids. I thought Jurassic Park made sense, that it had kids in it. I thought the second one was ludicrous, how they got kids in it. The third one, as much as I even liked that one, I thought the way they got a kid in it was ridiculous. The first Jurassic World got kids in there, made sense. It's an actual amusement park. So, yeah, it could be done. And this time, they actually have a kid in it, and they don't do it. At first, I was a little leery on it, because it just seemed like they were just trying to get a kid in there. But as you find out the story of this kid, I think it actually works and adds a new dimension to this universe. I'm shocked that people are saying that it's just like a dinosaur chasing movie, because, yeah, that's what adventure is. But there are so many lush plot twists in this, and some of them I did predict, but they still did ways of the story that made me exciting. I don't mind guessing plot twists if I think they're good storytelling things, and I think Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom gave us that. This is a fun popcorn movie that gives you a lot to think about. And it's not as heavy-handed as a Pixar movie always tries to do lately. This is a movie that says, hey, did you think about this possibility? You know, if we did this? And so I'm going to give the highest rating. Now, I don't think it was as good as Jurassic World. I still like Jurassic World. I think I gave that a 4.5 out of 5. I am going to go a little lower on this one and give it a 4 out of 5. The reason why is because I think they could have even gone a little more with the script. I would have liked to seen a little bit more character stuff with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. Their relationship is kind of a big deal in the first one, and in this one we're given reminders it's there, but I would have liked to see a little bit more development. They kind of took some easy and cheap ways out of it, and I would have liked to see a little bit more of that. And I liked where they ended it, even though it could have gone on a little longer, but they were smart enough to know that they dealt with it. And as I said, it does kind of feel a little like Jurassic Park 2, but it actually smooths out all the problems I had with that original sequel. Some people like that sequel, and, you know, that's great. You know, all movie reviewing is subjective, and I personally just did not have a love for it. And this one is like they remade Jurassic Park 2, but they smoothed out all the things I would wanted for it. And, you know, it's not like a step-by-step reshoot, but it's sort of the same story with a little bit of intrigue to it. And, you know, I hope they nail the third one, because I know there's going to be a third one, because they set it up nicely. And as I said, that one's going to have to be a little more original, because if they just go back to a park and have dinosaurs chasing them, yes, there will be dinosaurs in it. Deal with it. You're dealing with a dinosaur movie. Nobody wants to see dinosaurs just sitting around doing nothing. Eventually they're going to chase people. Deal with that. It's a giant version of a slasher film at this point. But the fact that they keep progressing the story, to me, is a plus. And that's the reason why I think you should check out Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. That being said, I think you should check out all these movies. Just because I didn't like Deadpool 2 doesn't mean you aren't. Most people absolutely think it's hilarious, and I want you to judge. Incredibles 2, you'll probably have a great time with it. I just kind of gave it a bit more of an autopsy and really looked into it and what parts that I didn't come out feeling the same magic I did with the first one. Jurassic World, I liked. I look forward to seeing it again, and I can't wait to see what the next movie will bring. You know, I ask for one thing in Jurassic World. Bring Tim back as an adult. It makes sense. Tim was interested, and I could see him going into Alan Grant's shoes and following through. It'd be great to see him and that actor I cannot remember that is driving me nuts. I love this actor, and I can't remember him. He was in Damien, Omen 3. Oh, my God, I'm looking it up. I'm literally tapering right now. Very unprofessional. But I'm going to find out who plays it, and I'm going to see his name and actually absolutely hate that I can't remember. Sam Neill, I'm giving him a shout out because he deserves to be given a shout out. And, yeah, I want Tim to come back. I want to see, you know, even, you know, Lexi, I think is the daughter's name, Lex. I'd love to see what happened to her, and they're now full adults, and I think both of them could be right in an easier than the chaos theory. But don't get me wrong, any movie that has Jeff Goldblum turn up is a good one. He doesn't ever mail it in. He always comes in, whether he's in full Jeff Goldblum mode or if he's just, showing up to play a bit of a character, doesn't matter. He always brings his A game, and so even just to see him in a small role like this was quite fun and nice. Anyhow, I hope you get out to the movies this summer. I know some of you will just wait till Netflix for this, but it's important that we get out and see these movies at the theater because, well, all three of these movies are movies you should see on the big screen first. And then you can join and enjoy them on your little phones or your big TVs at home and stuff. But these are movies that need to be seen on a big screen. And don't forget those small indie films too. Maybe big blockbusters like this aren't your thing, but those are even more important to find little theaters near you to go see them because that is telling people we don't want to just see the blockbusters. And this year we've seen some smaller movies like Hereditary and A Quiet Place, and smaller movies that have actually done pretty good. A movie like Wonder actually stuck in theaters for a bit because there were smaller films, but people said, hey, I want to see this. And so go check these movies out at the theater and get yourself some snacks, whatever your traditions are. Are you one of those people that like to get early to the theater like me? Or are you one of those people that wait till the lights come down and then have to make the whole row getting up? That sounds a little snippy, but hey, if that's your thing, I'll give it to you. But please don't sit in my row and make me have to stand up because I won't say anything, but I'll give you that look. You know that look? Anyhow, I think Seinfeld said it best when, somebody's talking at the theater and you're like, I gotta give it the half turn, where you just turn and let them know that you're aware they're talking, and then you have to do the full turn, which means I'm about to lose my shit, though most people don't. Though I do have one friend that I will give a shout out to. He is the kind that will. I remember we went to one movie. He was my friend David Jameson. We went to one movie, and I remember they were talking all the way through the trailers. He was very good about it. And as soon as the feature presentation came up and the credits of the new movie started and they started yapping, my friend David literally turned around, almost nose to nose with them, and said, "It's quiet time now. The movie's starting." He didn't threaten them, he just let them know, "I'm not going to take this." And they were very quiet after that. So maybe it is good to speak up sometimes. I will just do the half turn for now and give my evil eyes. Anyhow, I love talking movies with you. Now that you're done this podcast, plan what movie you're going to see next. I don't know what I'll be talking about next week, but I look forward to it already. Have yourself a great week, and I'll see you next week here on Donald Devlin, I'm using my real name, Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. I'll see you and talk to you next week.